Welcome to this episode of the Medical Affairs Professional Society podcast, Elevate. The views expressed in this recording are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect on the opinions of MAPS or the companies with which they are affiliated. This presentation is for informational purposes only and is not intended as legal or regulatory advice. And now for today's Elevate episode.
Welcome to the Medical Affairs Professional Society's podcast series, Digital First Scientific Communications, How Digital is Transforming Medical Communications. In these podcasts, we speak with experts in the field of scientific and medical communications and discuss how digital transformation is opening opportunities for medical communicators. I'm Jennifer Riggins, a co-host of this podcast. I currently serve as a member of the Digital Focus Area Working Group, and I've worked in pharma for about 30 years with a focus on medical information, scientific communications, and medical digital. And I currently work for Factimi, a nonprofit consortium of medical information leaders. I'm joined by my co-host, Steve Casey of Omni Healthcare Communications, or OmniHC for short, a leader in digital-first medical communications. So Steve and I started a new series focused on omnichannel communications. We embarked on a project to interview experts on omnichannel and determine the consistencies, discrepancies, challenges, and unknowns from several points of view. We interviewed representatives from several organizations at the MAPS Nashville meeting. We discussed omnichannel and how they define it, implement it, and measure it. So we're tackling each of these areas of omnichannel, one per episode. We've curated all the responses to each question we asked to allow you, the listener, to have full transparency. Then throughout the podcast, Steve and I will summarize and we'll discuss some of the interesting things we've heard. In this way, we hope to help you learn more about omnichannel and how best to use it.
In our last podcast, we discussed the definition of omnichannel. If you haven't already listened to episode one, we highly recommend listening to that episode before going further in this one. That'll help you level set the discussion. For today's podcast, we tackle the question of how does a medical affairs organization plan for integrating omnichannel activities? So, all right, let's dig right in. Let's listen to the responses from Lars Bjerler, SVP and Product Manager for Definitive Healthcare, and Martin Callahan, Director of Innovation at Pharmagenesis.
Yeah, I think probably many approaches to that, but you would want to probably think about your, what kind of organization are you? How big are you? How much resources do you have? And size it a bit after that. In general, though, maybe starting small is good. This is a new area. You want to learn and figure out how to do it. So, start probably pretty simple and create some of these cross-functional teams to help you get the right people at the table and figure some of this stuff out. And you probably will have to involve maybe organization or parts of the organization that you usually don't work with, like IT, maybe more on the analytical side too. You're going to try to learn how to collect data, analyze it, use it to help you segment your customers and such. And maybe you are getting into areas of privacy and other things that might require some legal advice as well. So that might be something to think about as you get started on this. And I think the third or fourth thing here would be to maybe try to leverage some of the data that already exists about your KOLs or the people you're trying to reach. In the case of doctors or KOLs or such, then what are they? What information already exists on them that you maybe can use to learn some about who they are and what behavior they have and what kind of learning personality they have? Like, let's take doctors that, looking at prescription data, if they are willing to take on new treatments and things like that pretty quickly, they might be more open to certain types of information. Others might be more traditional. Let's look at their publication history. Others are maybe more into speaking at conferences. So those traditional things that you guys usually look at when understanding KOLs can probably be used as a good basis, right? Or even help you maybe further segment that base in order to think about how you want to communicate with them and build up your omnichannel structure. Yeah. So I would say, don't let the grandiose ideas around this prevent you from going and getting started, right? Start simple, leverage people's knowledge in the company by creating cross-functional teams, and then take advantage of some of the data you might already have.
It can feel overwhelming, I think, but I think there's a simple framework to follow. I think it starts with really understanding the core concept of what omnichannel really is, just so you have a basic framework of knowledge to work from. And those concepts really don't change in terms of different ways of adopting omnichannel. I think the next step is to connect with the people across functions who are doing some of that work already in within the pillars or across those pillars, including internal platform owners and external partners. And even if you don't deliver omnichannel in a cross-functional way, you'll likely want to be using, say, a lot of the same data and tech infrastructure than creating your own for medical, which is more difficult and more expensive. The third thing, I think, is looking at what your goals are and setting up and prioritizing them and what their measures of success would be. And I think, you know, you've heard the phrase, try not to boil the ocean. You know, people, if they try to adopt omnichannel across an organization, it's going to be a big journey. So, you know, do what you can do right there, right then. Start small and scale from there. Maybe you'll just do it in medical education. Maybe you'll do it within SciComms, tying up your congresses and publications activities. So I think choose the model that allows you to adopt to start with and set up the goals to do that. The next thing I think is to create a roadmap based on those core concepts of omnichannel about where you are and where you want to be. So these core concepts are things like data, technology, insights, your field medical team, perhaps your local orchestrators, and then move towards building out those parts of the infrastructure. So again, start as small as you need to and build from there. Implementing omnichannel isn't going to happen overnight, so focus on what you can do right now and fill the gaps over time.
So let's pause here and discuss what we've heard. You know, Martin and Lars have introduced the concept of start small and learn, and then the importance of cross-functional connections. So what do you think about these concepts, Steve?
Well, I really appreciate this concept of start small. Sometimes we want to jump right in and be successful right away, but it doesn't work very well. By jumping in, you can get overwhelmed with too much at the beginning before you're able to handle it. With medical affairs, omnichannel, starting small and building up is an important concept for folks to consider. In my mind, omnichannel requires such a customized approach and cross-functional collaboration that if we try to undertake it all at once, it could easily prove disastrous and demotivating. I think the start small advice is sound and it's wise for everyone undertaking omnichannel. Progress gradually into it based on what's best for your organization and team. So in that way, you'll ensure success along the way.
You know, I really couldn't agree more. I do think it's important to have a vision of the whole, you know, a roadmap of sorts, but then you need to be able to implement in phases, you know, based on successes and the learning of pilots that you've completed. I think it's really the only way to ensure cross-functional alignment and then success of the overall project.
Well said. I 100% agree. Now let's listen to Charlotte Mosley, Executive Director at IPG Health Medical Communications, and Dylan Benton, Vice President of Digital Strategy and Engagement at Symbiotics. Both of these focus a little bit more on understanding the data and using enabling technology.
I think one of the biggest challenges that medical affairs have is to do true omnichannel, you need to put the customer at the center. And there's many people within an organization wanting to communicate with that customer. So for medical affairs, I think, first of all, they need to look at the broader organization as well as within medical affairs and how they want to communicate with that particular customer that's the center of their omnichannel journey. I think they need to look at the data. They need to look at the data that they can access in order to do true omnichannel. It's kind of a bit easier in the US than it is ex-US because of the access to the level of data that you can get in the US versus ex-US, but it's not impossible ex-US. So I think in terms of medical affairs, I think first of all, they need to look at, can they truly put the customer central within their organization? Or do they have to do it within medical affairs, within commercial, within R&D, within corporate, whoever's communicating with that particular customer? But if they're solely doing it within medical affairs, then I think the thing they need to look at is, can they integrate their data into the knowledge that they have about that customer, what that customer needs, when they're accessing information, and how can they learn, what's the feedback loop that they have to learn to make that experience, that content that they're providing to that particular individual, relevant at the point in time that they want it. So it's not an easy task. I personally think it's an organisational change. It's not just within one particular area. So, and that is a task within many organisations. But within medical affairs, I think first of all, they've got to look at how can they understand the data in order to make that omnichannel journey for each and every one of their customer engagement.
That's a good question, and it's tough. But, you know, at Symbiotics, we found that medical affairs organizations are uniquely positioned to succeed with omnichannel because of their focus on content first. Relevant and engaging content is one of, if not the most important aspects to an effective omnichannel experience. Most medical affairs teams have an abundance of data-rich, highly relevant content for their key audiences. The challenge for medical affairs really becomes how to best get that content in front of the right audiences using the right platforms, how to do it appropriately, using the right context for proactive and reactive communications. We see a lot of our clients creating really great content, sometimes even on really innovative digital platforms, but they don't always use, they don't always think about the best ways to achieve the right visibility for it, right? Just because you build it doesn't exactly mean they're gonna come. One other thought around planning and executing omnichannel in medical affairs is, depending on the organization, the biggest challenge might be the technological side of omnichannel. You know, connecting the data from various digital and in-person data sources is challenging and it's complex, and it requires an infrastructure of CRM platforms and technologies all communicating harmoniously. And when it comes to technology, if it's not already in place, there really is no one-size solution. There's no platform or vendor that can just say, hey, let me set you up with omnichannel. Technology isn't the driver or the lead, it's the enabler. But at the end of the day, it's critical to define the processes, the ways of working, to test, to learn, to enable. This is really going to allow you to continue to evolve how you engage with HCPs in a better, faster, and more at scale sort of a way. And then one last note around technology, you know, we've seen a lot of companies fail to properly understand and prepare for the magnitude or the investment of technology, and therefore they find themselves unable to execute with the plan that they've laid out. So technology is an area that we always recommend exploring and understanding what your capabilities are in-house and what you may need to outsource before you really start planning the omnichannel process.
So what do you think, Steve? You know, how important do you think the understanding your customer and using enabling technology is?
Well, you know, Jen, as we discussed in our first episode of this project, if omnichannel is about being customer-centric, a key to that, as Charlotte and Dillon point out, is having a solid understanding and profile of your customers. In today's environment, you'll need a technology stack that can source, curate, and activate an incredible amount of data on those customers. Just think of the process and data required to understand where an individual KOL goes to consume scientific information, and then which site or source does that KOL frequent more than others. And that's the easy part. Earlier, we were talking about starting small and building up from there. A comprehensive technology stack may be too much for some organizations to develop at the start. However, they can start with some pieces and build a foundation that leads to a continued growth toward omnichannel. Really, if the goal of omnichannel is to be more customer-centric, every little step in developing the technology and empowering that knowledge base is really going to be foundational to really giving them a solid understanding of the customer.
You know, I totally agree. And, you know, I'd also add that as part of the tech stack work, you know, it's important to understand your full technology ecosystem. What tech is emerging? What tech needs to be retired? What tech are you aligned to that won't be changing? If you know all of that, then you can make better decisions on prioritizations and then what you might be able to capture manually to move the business along while you await further tech advancements or enhancements. You know, tech is important, but really it's only an enabler. Content is still king. You know, there's a ton you can learn about your customer and their patterns of behavior without having to change the technology.
Jen, I really like that last line. I agree that content is still king. And to properly do omnichannel, I think we also need to understand how we construct that content. We want to do it so that it has optimal effect on the final usability and accessibility in an omnichannel setting. So let's move on and listen to the responses from our last three interviewees. These will be from Gary Lyons, Head of Strategy and Excellence at Fishwack, Tony Gottschalk, Senior Principal at IQVIA, and Sandeep Gantati, Associate Vice President at Indigene?
Another good question. In my experience, it's really important an organization doesn't shoot for the stars immediately. It's good to have that as an objective, but really, I guess, you know, the analogy is going through three stages of, you know, of development with a child. You know, you go through the crawling stage, the walking stage, the running stage. And I think it's the same with adoption of omnichannel. I think it's really important that a company doesn't run before it can walk, for example. So it's about doing things simply, and both at a global organizational level and a local organization level, there needs to be clarity in the purpose behind what they're trying to achieve with omnichannel, and then really just think about the channels that they have, which are approved, of course, within the company, and just thinking about some really basic steps in linking some of those channels together. So, you know, for example, it might be an email linking to a webinar, linking to a medical portal. That might be three simple steps, because really omnichannel is about creating a connected journey of learning. And that can happen quite simply with, you know, those kind of three steps. And then beyond that, the organizations can start to really fold in more advanced engagements, which might be bringing in outside channels, you know, third-party type channels. It might be bringing into play personas and segments, really, you know, making the audience types much more specific, and then thinking about how to create connected journey experiences for each of those segments. So maybe start with one segment to begin with, small number of channels, then start to expand the range of channels and how they connect to each other through through an omnichannel strategy, of course, and then also break that down into further customer types. So I think there's that, and really just being realistic with the amount of time, you know, the organizational inertia to adopt omnichannel. It needs buy-in at a senior level as well as localized, you know, local medical level as well. So buy-in is really important. Time framing out, you know, these things always take longer to set up than readily obvious. And then, yeah, I think just expectations of what needs to be achieved with the omnichannel in terms of those three stages of progression, I think is really important as well.
Well, I think what we see companies do and how we advise companies who've never done omnichannel engagement before is really take an inventory of all of the ways that you interact with your clients. Obviously, the traditional in-person scientific exchange and medical information, requests, physicians, contacting your medical information hotline or call center or website, those are the traditional ways of engaging physicians or how physicians search for information around products. We advise clients to take an inventory of all of those traditional methods and channels of communication, and then all of the additional channels that you might envision that you want to leverage or have a presence in. That includes scientific congresses, websites, other digital channels where physicians might find information. We start with an inventory of basics. How do you interact with customers? From there, we try to make sure that there's consistency. Usually a lot of times there's a technology solution to making sure that the content is generated, derived, and disseminated in a consistent and accurate manner that's in alignment with the company's strategic medical pillars. Mm-hmm. So for example, clients might have specific approved messages for safety, efficacy, health economics, outcomes research, whatever the topic. Those messages, the content that physicians are seeking, it should be aligned. It should be consistent. And so we help companies orchestrate all of those different channels of engagement. And it's usually if companies are just starting out, you know, as I mentioned earlier, these can be layered approaches, this can be complex. So we usually advise clients to start small and start simple before you start to scale and ramp up the complexity, because there are lots of advanced technologies and analytical methods to really drive omnichannel into a predictive sort of realm. That's where we're going with predictive analytics, but I think you have to crawl, walk, run before you get there. Mm-hmm. So we advise clients to start small, start simple, and take an inventory of all the traditional ways that you interact with a client and then branch out from there.
That's a great question. In my experience in reflecting on various conversations I've had with medical affairs leaders, companies that have invested in this proposition and this business practice, they typically have volumes of playbooks and strategies and white papers, and there is a myriad of content online. You know, here are the five steps to getting an omnichannel campaign. They usually involve some combination of people, data, systems, and analytics. I'd like to answer the question slightly differently, and I would like to propose maybe five things that are understated or not as frequently talked about when we talk about organizations planning for this. Number one in my mind is complete clarity of purpose, right? So what is it that we're trying to do by enabling these omnichannel strategies? Many organizations are not able to answer that very basic question of why. Right? So I think that clarity of purpose is critical. Second in my mind is design thinking. If omnichannel is truly customer-centric, then we must understand the world from their perspective. And sometimes think out of the box, right? Spend a day observing, for example, a pharmacy. Spend a day with a clinician in a practice, understanding and perhaps getting some insight as to how and when they might actually want to consume information, right? So being genuinely curious, I think, is very critical. Third is business acumen. I know I dare say that, you know, at times medical affairs has to be good at the art of selling as well, right? We have to sell a proposition of what we're doing. We have to be able to negotiate with our commercial colleagues and our other stakeholders to really set boundaries as to what we will do versus what they will do, so that the orchestration is good, so that we're not burdening the customer, but rather enhancing their experience. Number four is engaging allies within the company early and often. And the one that comes to mind the most is our legal and compliance teams, our regulatory teams. We've seen so many examples of great plans, ambitious plans, getting kind of side-railed because at the last minute there's some sort of a big concern that's been raised. So I think that's, you know, that 360-degree thinking is very critical. And then I think finally is resilience. I mean, not everything that you do is going to succeed. Not everything is going to yield the result that you want. And I think about the challenge of our medical affairs function. We have competing data from other organizations. We have our customer being touched by not only our function, but other functions within the company. And then, you know, just the fact that sometimes no amount of omnichannel, you know, approaches are going to hide the fact that maybe the data you're presenting are not necessarily the most compelling or not necessarily the most meaningful to them. So I think we have a lot of challenges we need to overcome in that. But I feel like these are five things that I don't see a lot of people talking about. It's always about process and systems and data. And so I offer those as for our viewers as something different.
I love this concept of crawl, walk, run, you know, and the importance of a connected journey of learning. I think this really ties into what we heard earlier, you know, also about starting small and adding channels and content as we mature along the omnichannel journey. You know, also taking an inventory of how we interact with customers so we can understand the data and then feed it back into the system to make informed decisions.
Yeah, I found Sandeep's response very interesting also. Sandeep gives us a few alternatives to think about. I think it is 5 points. There are some excellent things for medical affairs folks to think about when considering omnichannel, aside from process, systems, and data. His discussion about clarity of purpose is really important. We have to understand why we want to do omnichannel. What is the purpose? Purpose has to connect with the business of the organization. We can't just say that we want to be more customer-centric. We need to know why being customer-centric is desirable. And armed with that clarity of purpose and how it fits in with the business of the organization, we can then convey that information or vision to the entire organization so that there is a commitment to omnichannel, not just something tried 1 year and abandoned the next.
I agree, Steve. And you know, without that clarity of purpose and that strategic vision, it's hard to tackle something as big and onerous as omnichannel. So with that, you know, I think it's about time we have to wrap up, unfortunately. So I'll close with what I feel like are my three key takeaways from this session. Start small. Crawl, then walk, then run. Understand your data, what you have access to, what you need, and how to use it to make a connected journey using enabling technology. And then finally, cross-functional alignment is critical in placing the customer at the center. You agree with these, Steve?
Yeah, I do. To properly do omnichannel and medical affairs is really going to take some changes and adjustments on how we conduct business in medical. In my mind, that key goal of being customer-centric means not only customer-centric in medical, but also customer-centric across the other market touchpoints. In some cases, this may mean that medical will need to have discussions with folks who are behind firewalls. Some of those firewalls were constructed under a different environment, and they may need to be adjusted to enable a contemporary digital-first approach that's required in medical today. I think this may be especially true in organizations as they look to develop and align their omnichannel efforts. I know we've been talking a lot about omnichannel and medical affairs, but as we all know, medical is really just one area of external touch points and delivering one piece of the overall effort of the organization. From what I'm hearing and what I've seen, omnichannel has to be focused on a goal planned accordingly and implemented with the customer in mind, really the customer at the center of that effort.
So true. Thank you, Steve. You know, we'd also want to thank our interviewees and their companies for giving their thoughts on how a medical affairs organization plans for integrating omnichannel activities. You know, in our next episodes, we're going to delve into omnichannel measurement with the same group of interviewees. That's going to be really interesting. Look for that measurement episode to drop sometime within the next week. Thank you for joining us today and listening to our podcast series, Digital First Scientific Communications, a podcast production of the Digital Focus Area Working Group of the Medical Affairs Professional Society.
If you're a MAPS member, thank you for your support. If you're not yet a MAPS member, I want to encourage you to join so you can have access to additional resources. Visit the MAPS website today at medicalaffairs.org/membership.